Rock and roll. Welcome. Dr. Smith Live, 58th episode. Got a hot one for you tonight. Dangers of EMF, how to protect yourself. An essential guide to surviving the EMF exposure. Plus, I got a special blockbuster information at the end that's going to knock your socks off about the so-called plandemic. Anyway. Got a lot of information to cover. I'm not going to bore you. I got a lot of practical stuff, not just academic stuff to make your head spin. So anyway, one of the best quotes I've ever come across was, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. And unfortunately, that's what's taken place with this pandemic that we have. Massive increase in your exposure to the non-native EMF, electromagnetic fields. The average background radiation worldwide has increased 500 times since the year 2000. 500 times. That's why people are getting sicker and sicker, because it's creating systemic inflammation. The dangers of EMFs and how to protect yourself. So reducing your exposure to EMFs. The majority of the radiation you're exposed to are coming from the items in your home. Electric heated floors, heating pads, electric wiring, TVs, LED lighting, Fitbit, and dozens of similar Fitbit type watches, microwave ovens, and hair dryers. They all electrical devices give off EMFs. These LED lights that people are putting up, yes, they're cheaper to run, but they're giving off Wi-Fi signals. So how to protect yourself? One, hardwire your computer so you're not getting bathed in electromagnetic fields. Two, shut your Wi-Fi down whenever you're not using it and at night when you're sleeping. Again, it creates inflammation systemically. Three, place a resin diode on your phone to cancel out the harmful radiation. I have one on my phone, so it basically reduces the heat buildup in your head. When using your phone, use the speakerphone and hold it away from your head. Place your phone and number five, in airplane mode when not in use. Six, place your phone in a Faraday cage. So you can get these online. They're about $45, I think. It's a wire mesh, and it literally protects you when you put it in your pocket. It's a little Faraday cage. Very, very important. You can get it, I think it's called rfsafe.com. That's rfsafe.com. Get rid of any 900 megahertz wireless phones, especially those systems that have a base station and auxiliary phones around the house. They're more dangerous than your cell phone. Eight, keep a Tesla energy card in your pocket at all times to help negate the energy fields. It's something that should become like an appendage anymore because you can't avoid it. Number nine, wear blue blocker glasses when working on your computer, and that's basically what I have. There's also a mat called a Harrod, H-A-R-R-A-D, Harrod mat. I think they're about $75. Fit on the base of your laptop computer, because if you keep your laptop on your knees, it's going to sterilize you. So your cell phone is a major source of EMF exposure. When your phone is on, it gives off a 25-foot magnetic field, 25 feet around you. Non-thermal damage. Many studies have shown that when you're exposed to EMFs, intracellular calcium levels increase. It's all documented. This is not conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy facts. It's the excess calcium in the cell and the increased calcium signaling that are responsible for a vast majority of biological effects of the EMFs. Martin Paul, PhD, has discovered no less than 26 papers showing that EMFs work by activating the voltage-gated calcium channels, which are located in the outer membrane of your cells. Once activated, they allow a tremendous influx of calcium into the cell, about 1 million calcium ions per second. So you're flooding your cells with calcium, and you wonder why you have calcium plaque buildup on your aorta or in your organs and your tissues. It's too much EMFs. So a little note here, the cellular membrane is 7 million, that's 7 million times more sensitive to EMFs than the charged particles inside and outside of the cells, which are what safety standards are based on. In other words, the safety standards are off by a factor of 7 million. Anytime the government tells you a statistic or a number, don't believe them. Number two, when there's excess calcium in the cell, it increases levels of both nitric oxide and superoxide. So massively excess of nitric oxide reacts with superoxide, forming peroxynitrate, which is an extremely potent oxidant stressor to the body. It's one of the reasons for increase in brain tumors. This is all documented stuff, no maybe stuff. The radiation activates the voltage-gating calcium channels in the outer cell membrane, which triggers a chain reaction of devastating events that ultimately decimates your mitochondrial function and causes severe cellular damage and DNA breaks. Your mitochondria are like little Idaho potatoes inside the cell that produce the ATP, adenosine triphosphate, the energy of the cell. But it's the mitochondria that is the actual dispatcher, sending the signals to the other organelles in the cell of what to do and when to do it. It also decimates your cell membranes and cellular proteins. In a nutshell, dramatically accelerates your aging process. So the more calcium you get into your cell, the faster you're going to look like Methuselah. Common EMF-related health problems. The tissues which have the highest concentration of the voltage-gated calcium channels are the ones that will be affected the most. So studies dating back to the 1950s and 60s show that the nervous system is the organ that is the most sensitive to EMFs. When the voltage-gating calcium channels are activated in the brain, they release neurotransmitters and neuroendocrine hormones. And elevated voltage-gated calcium channels activity in certain parts of the brain have been shown to produce a variety of neuropsychiatric effects. Among the most common consequences of chronic EMF exposure to the brain are anxiety, depression, autism, and Alzheimer's disease. So the more exposure you're getting to the brain with your cell phone, the faster you're going to lose your marbles. So maybe you can get a designer bag to hold your marbles when you lose them and get a name tag so you know who the hell you are. Common heart problems linked to EMF exposure include cardiac arrhythmias that's associated with sudden cardiac death, people. Atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter. Premature atrial contractions and premature ventricular contractions, also known as heart palpitations, tachycardia, which is rapid heartbeat, and bradycardia, which is slow heartbeat. Some reproductive effects and cancer. EMF exposure may also increase a man's risk for infertility if he wears his cell phone near his groin and or uses a laptop on his lap, and a woman's risk for breast cancer is higher if she tucks her cell phone into her bra. Studies have linked low-level electromagnetic radiation exposure from cell phones to an 8% reduction in sperm motility and a 9% reduction in sperm viability. So the synthetic B vitamins since World War II have been putting into our dried cereals and fortified breads and all that crap. That in itself has reduced the sperm count dramatically since the 40s. And the crowning glory is with the EMFs. They're going to basically sterilize the rest of the population. How to lower your exposure. Your cell phone is a major source of exposure, as are cordless phones, Wi-Fi routers, Bluetooth headsets, and other Bluetooth-equipped items like hearing aids, wireless mouses, keyboards, smart thermostats, baby monitors, smart meters, and microwave in the kitchen. Ideally, address each source and determine how you can best limit their use. Very, very important to start dealing with these issues because they can kill you. So swapping a wireless baby monitor for a hardwired monitor. You know, people think they're in the electronic age and they're really doing wonderful things monitoring their baby. They're actually going to damage because little children are much more sensitive to EMFs than adults. Carrying your cell phone in a bag instead of on your body and keeping it in airplane mode and or in a Faraday shield bag or case when not using it. I mean, I use my Faraday cage for years, and it works. If you really want to try something, wrap your phone in aluminum foil and have your spouse or child call it. It won't ring. So you can get an aluminum foil hat, an aluminum covering for your phone. It may look a little funny, but who cares in this day and age? Turning off your Wi-Fi at night, very, very important. Even better, don't use Wi-Fi and switch to wired Ethernet. Whole lot safer. Using your laptop on a table rather than on your lap. Using your cell phone with a headset, we call that anti-radiation headset. So you're not getting the magnetic field into your brain. There's a tube that's an air tube that's protecting you. When people wear the headsets, you know, the bilateral earbuds, they're frying their brain twice as much. So you really want to avoid that whenever possible. Use landlines whenever possible. Unfortunately, people don't think that's cool, and probably some houses don't even have landlines anymore. Hardwiring as many devices as possible to avoid Wi-Fi fields. This includes your mouse, keyboards, printers. Avoid Ethernet, overpower. However, as this strategy increases, the variability in your power lines causes dirty electricity. You can partially remediate this with capacitors or filters, but it's not an ideal solution. Ethernet overpower is better than Wi-Fi, but not as good as running an Ethernet cable. So hardwired is the best way to fly. Installing a Faraday cage, copper or silver threaded fabric around your bed. Years ago, I had a patient from Manchester, England. He had then moved down to London. He went to dental school there. All of a sudden, he was getting up every night at 2 o'clock in the morning. He couldn't sleep. He tracked it down to his neighbor's Wi-Fis. And he couldn't avoid it. And he went online searching for answers. He found an engineer in Switzerland that had the exact same problem. And he solved it by having a like a shower curtain in fabric with woven silver thread. And he hung it around his bed. So my patient literally bought one. It was $2,000. And he had it hung around his bed. After that, he had no more sleeping problems. It totally blocked the EMFs from all his neighbors' apartments. So sometimes you can't avoid it, but being exposed to it and losing sleep every night will do you in. If you don't get less than 7 hours of sleep a night, your cells can't kick out viruses. So a word to the enlightened. So the bottom line is here, these Faraday cages or shower curtains around your bed may save your life. If you have a smaller smart meter, take steps to try to prevent it. I know that they gave me a hard time. I tried to sue the Electra company, and naive me, I found out basically that the utility commission gets its finances from the utility companies. So they're not going to cut the hand that feeds them. So it's like trying to push a rope up a hill. It didn't work. Anyway, you can get in contact with, it's called In Power, a mass action liability. So they can teach you how to try to avoid getting meters on your houses. I have a Faraday cage on my smart meter outside my house. The cyber scan is capable of evaluating each person's energy field and determine which EMFs are directly affecting them. From this information, a custom Tesla energy card device can be made to protect the individual from the harmful EMFs. So the key is EMFs are everywhere. You can't avoid it, but you can protect yourself against it. Peroxynitrate in your body. It is a selective oxidant that modifies tyrosine. Now, tyrosine is a very interesting amino acid. It's needed to produce norepinephrine, which enables your heart to contract forcefully to push the blood through all your organs of your body. This is one of the reasons why people get congestive heart failure, a lack of tyrosine in the diet. So peroxynitrate also creates a new substance called nitrotyrosine and nitration of a structural protein. These changes are visible in human biopsies of atherosclerosis, myocardial ischemia, inflammatory bowel disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, and septic lung disease. This pathway of oxidative destruction triggered by low-frequency radiation emitted from mobile devices may partially explain unprecedented growth rate of chronic disease since 1990. So I'm going to give you some statistics. Chronic fatigue syndrome since 1990 has increased 11,027%. Bipolar disease in youth increased 10,833%. Fibromyalgia, 7,727% increase. Autism, 2,094%. Celiac disease, 1,111%. ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disease, 819%. Lupus, 787%. Hypothyroidism, 702%. Osteoarthritis, 449%. Sleep apnea, 430%. Diabetes, 305%. Alzheimer's disease, 299%. Depression, 280%. So the EMF introduction, and they, you know, like cooking a frog, they turn the flame up slowly. So they started with 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, and now we're up to 5G, which is really going to decimate society. Anyway, I'm going to tie this in at the end with the COVID nonsense, but you'll see what it's all about. Protect yourself and your family from long-term health damage. Cell phones, portable phones, Wi-Fi routers, modems are the primary devices in your home emitting microwave radiation consistently. Cell damage builds over time. It may feel safe to use your devices as you always have, since you don't experience the health effects immediately, but it's definitely a no-no. It's going to creep up to you slowly. So place a resin diode on your cell phone and any other electronic device, your computers and so forth. Keep the phone away from your head. Increase the distance from your RF emitting devices. The closer the device, the more radiation you absorb. Find a way to transport your phone other than your pants pocket or bra, and avoid keeping your phone and tablets in your bedroom while you're sleeping. Don't charge your phone on your night table next to where you're sleeping. Turn your routers off, Wi-Fi off. Spices may reduce the damage. Researchers have discovered certain spices may help prevent or repair damage from peroxynitrites. Spices rich in phenolics, specifically cloves, rosemary, turmeric, cinnamon, and ginger root, exhibited some protective capacity against peroxynitrite-induced damage. So a good friend of mine up in Toronto, Marcel Wolf, he shared this recipe with me, and I make it, you know, at least once a week. I get all organic herbs and spices. It's a coffee substitute. It'll put the zing into your step. 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne. I get 90K potency. It's like gunpowder, people. 1/4 teaspoon of organic cinnamon. That helps regulate blood sugar. 1/8 teaspoon of cloves, which also kills parasites. 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric. And 1/4 teaspoon of ginger, 1 tablespoon of organic cocoa, raw organic sugar to the taste. And optionally, you could add in vitamin D3 or crystal energy, which is negative hydrogen ions. It's the smallest molecule in the body, the negative hydrogen ions, and very good for cleansing the body. So nutritional intervention can also help reduce the harmful effects of EMFs. It's not a permanent solution you can use in lieu of remediation, but it can be helpful while you're implementing more permanent solutions. The first is magnesium, as magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker. Many people are deficient in magnesium to start with. It's about 75% of the population has magnesium deficiencies. And magnesium directly impacts 73% of the enzymatic reactions in your body. And I believe many may benefit from as much as 1 to 2 grams, 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of magnesium a day. It also quiets down your sympathetic nervous system and dilates your coronary blood vessels, so you have a much less chance of dying of a heart attack. Better than taking aspirin. 2, increasing NRF2, which is nuclear factor erythroid number 2. NRF2 is a powerful protein that is latent within each cell in the body and is released by an NRF2 activator. Once released, it migrates into the cell nucleus and bonds to your DNA at the location of the antioxidant response element, which is the master regulator of the total antioxidant system that is available in all human cells. Also, this NRF2 lowers inflammation in the body, improves mitochondrial function, stimulates mitochondrial biogenesis, which is increasing the number of mitochondria in your body, helps detoxify the body from xenobiotics, carbon-containing toxicants, and toxic metals, activates the transcription of over 500 genes in the human genome, most of which have cytoprotective functions. This includes the 3 genes that encode enzymes required to synthesize of reduced glutathione, which is one of the most important antioxidants produced in your body. Also, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, helps to rejuvenate the glutathione and also lipoic acid. Very important. So you can activate the NRF2 by consuming what they call NRF2 boosting foods. That's compounds such as sulforaphane from cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, and cauliflower, foods high in phenolic antioxidants, blueberries, strawberries, and grapes, the long chain omega-3 fatty acids, which are high in the DHA and EPA, carotenoids, especially lycopene, sulfur compounds from alum, which is garlic, okay, vegetables, isothiocyanates from the cabbage group, and terpenoid-rich foods like mangoes, broccoli, sweet potatoes, and tea. High-intensity exercises that activate the nitric oxide signaling pathways, such as nitric oxide dump exercises, which, to be honest with you, I have no idea what that means. You can look it up on the internet. Calorie restriction, intermittent fasting. If you don't eat breakfast, so your first meal is at lunchtime, that's a good way of doing intermittent fasting. I take a detox tea in the morning, keeps my blood sugar up, and I'm helping to reduce the burden off my liver and other organs. So the benefits of molecular hydrogen. Molecular hydrogen consists of two atoms of hydrogen, the smallest molecule in the universe, which is a natural molecule that can instantly diffuse across any cell membrane, has no polarity, and it's potent selective antioxidants for your, to break down toxins in your body. Molecular hydrogen has been shown to target free radicals produced in response to radiation, such as peroxynitrates. Studies have shown that molecular hydrogen can mitigate about 80% of this damage. The take-home message is that it can be quite valuable when flying, for example, to counteract the damage caused by gamma ray radiation encountered at 35,000 feet. Anyway, I sent the notes over to my IT people. There's references on there if you want to look them up. Foods that contain molecular hydrogen: cucumber, tomato, spinach, iceberg lettuce, celery, zucchini, cauliflower, watermelon, grapefruit, and radishes. 10 foods that I try to get into my diet on a daily basis. And anyway, so that finishes my presentation. However, the bombshell, and I'm going to give you a little pearl here. I just dug this up. Monique Tello, MD, Masters in Public Health. The folks at UpToDate have done a nice review on the clinical management of vitamin D deficiency. And the statement is thus: the majority of healthy adults with vitamin D deficiency is in the range of 10 to 20 nanograms per milliliter. Basically, in China, that's what the establishment medical industry is advocating for the people: 20 nanograms per milliliter. Now, normal should be 100 nanograms per milliliter to 120 nanograms per milliliter. So here's the deal, people. And I just picked this up today when I was listening to a great blog by Cliff High. The COVID virus that was released in Wuhan was extremely virulent. That was also the first city in the world to switch on 5G, which activates the graphene oxide, which magnified the effect. They were actually welding the doors of people's homes in Wuhan, and they killed millions of people in China. They were literally spreading the viruses on the streets and all over the place. Now, the vitamin D levels in Chinese are extremely low. They also have a habit of clothing themselves to prevent the sun from causing sunspots on their skin, because they're very fashionable, very wrapped up into cosmetics and so forth, and they don't like damaged-looking skin, so they cover themselves up. Therefore, their vitamin D levels are extremely low. The key in the equation is that when the virus spread into the other countries, Europe and the United States, vitamin D levels were much higher than 20 nanograms per milliliter. And that's how it actually mutated and got much, much less virulent. So the powers that be thought that they can kill 13 out of 14 people with this virulent plant pandemic that they put out there. But the key in the equation, that's why Florida probably and Texas have much lower levels because of the sun, the vitamin D levels. So during the flu season, keep your vitamin D3 levels up. The doctors will freak out if it's over 100, but these people are mental midgets to begin with, and they don't appreciate the nutritional value of these powerful nutrients. You also want to keep up your zinc level, 60 milligrams a day. Your vitamin C, at least 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams a day. Curcumin for your liver, glutathione, N-acetylcysteine, even C60, the carbon molecule, is very effective. And periodically, you can take some ivermectin, 1 cc per 100 pounds weight, and some hydroxychloroquine. If you don't have access, you can always go to immunitybynature.com. You could download the frequencies. They work, people. So that wraps up my presentation. I hope you got a lot of good pearls to help protect your health, because with the food shortages that are coming, they're starting already, the supply chain lockups, the chemtrails that they're spraying, and the 5G that they're rolling out, we're getting inundated from every which way. So protect yourself. Okay, Jarrett, there we have some questions. This is a hypothetical question. If we capture the frequencies of certain drugs like tobacco, alcohol, weed, LSD, can we use their frequencies in a healthy manner? Tobacco, one of the reasons why it's toxic is they put so many damn chemicals into it. But the Indians grew tobacco and they didn't have lung cancer and all that kind of crap. It's the ammonia that they put in there to drive the nicotine up into your brain, so you got addicted very quickly. Alcohol is toxic. It dehydrates your cells. So I wouldn't do it. With the weed, you could do it with frequencies, and you can get the high off it without smoking it. LSD, I don't know if I'd want to venture into that arena. Be honest with you, years ago I had a patient, he was in the military, and they were experimenting on the troops, and he had some LSD, and the kid flipped out. He totally flipped out. He had a discharge from the military. He's the type of guy that one day they didn't know where the hell he was. He wound up going to the airport and taking a flight to Mexico. I wouldn't mess with that. It's screw up your wiring. But, you know, the key is if you juice organic vegetables, celery, Granny Smith apples, beets, carrots, collard greens, kale, you're going to get a mental high that no drug in the world can produce. So why waste your time with toxic chemicals? That's my personal opinion. Is that the only question we have? Do you know what is the best way to go about treating a TMJ closed lock without reduction, non-reducing TMJ disc? Well, again, the first thing you want to do is balance the temporal bones. You also want to check for pronated feet. If you have an overclosed vertical, you got to provide vertical support, whether you're bonding resins on the posterior teeth or supplying an dental orthotic, a plastic appliance to give you the vertical height. And using natural minerals, organic minerals, trace minerals, and magnesium to quiet down the sympathetic part of your nervous system so that the disc can get back on the head of the condyle. So when you lose vertical on your posterior teeth, your condyle gets compressed up into the glenoid fossa and the disc gets pulled off anterior medially, because that's the direction of pull of the superior head of the external pterygoid muscle. So by providing space in the joint, relaxing the muscle, balancing the sphenoid where your external pterygoid muscle attaches and your temporal bone so that your condyles can be balanced and the vertical dimension, you should be able to recapture the disc. It may take 6 months. You know, if you have a weak thyroid, for example, in the equation, you're going to have laxity of ligaments and weakened muscles. So you have to look at the whole enchilada, not just a lack of space in the TM joint. So, say, do we have any more questions? Or did I go to bed early tonight? So, Jarrett, is this a wrap then? Here, thank you for watching. Anyway, I hope you should get a lot of good, powerful information from what I told you. Protect yourself with the nutrients, reduce your exposure to the EMFs, and enjoy every day as if it was your first, not your last. God bless. See you next week. Be good.